The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, this is Stephen Hines, author of Zombie Fabulous, Rebirth Defect, and Valedictorian USA. And you, my friends, are getting your skulls crushed by the pile driver of John Orlando with his PBD cast in your face.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 439. I hope you're doing well out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD cast. Well, we mentioned it last week when DJ Joey Blaze joined me to give a preview of WWE's annual event, SummerSlam. We mentioned that Ringside Rand was not with us because he was on vacation in South Carolina, but for this episode, he has returned. And so we're glad to have Ringside Rand back. I will tell you right now, the boys are really wound up. I don't know if it's because Rand wasn't here last week or whatnot, but don't let their rowdiness deter you from listening to this great episode where we are going to break down and analyze everything that happened at SummerSlam. We're going to give our thoughts on the matches. We're going to talk about our predictions from last week. And we're going to talk about those future storylines, some of which we saw a couple nights ago on Monday Night Raw unfold. So we're going to give all of our opinions, our insights, and whatnot on the WWE as it stands right now. But before we do that, I got to thank, of course, a great sponsor of the PVD cast, and I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. As you know, they have everything you need for your comic book fandom. Whether it is single issues, graphic novels, collections, back issues, toys, collectibles, posters, they have everything you need for your collection. Now, if you're in Central Ohio, you have no excuse. You could swing on over to the store and check out the selection. Their street address is 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But maybe you're not in Ohio, maybe you're not in Central Ohio, maybe you're not even on the East Coast, but you still want to check out the store. Well, you could do that a couple of different ways. First, you can find them online. WGComics.com is their web address, and they're pretty darn active on the Facebook page, which is at WG Comics. And heck, if you want to pick up the phone and give them a ring, you can do that too, as we just found out from last week. Joey did that and had some great results. So phone number 614-891-3000. And just want to thank all the fine folks once again for their support of the PVD cast. So thanks, WG Comics. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear DJ Joey Blaze, Ringside Rand, and yours truly recap SummerSlam. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back at it. Of course, when I say we, I'm referring to myself and the pro wrestling pundits. That's right, both Rand and Joey are here. Let's talk to Ringside Rand. How was the vacation, sir?
I have returned from the Palmetto Ghetto.
The
Golden Ghetto.
Okay, that would be the Palmetto Ghetto, I'm assuming would be, of course, South Carolina.
That's correct.
Myrtle Beach.
Murray's Inlet.
Oh, Murray's
South
Inlet.
Of Myrtle Beach. I did find out an acronym.
What's that?
A-Y-C-E.
A-Y-C-E. What's that?
All you can eat. It's apparently all over the place. And It's not a challenge.
Well, I used to know a dancer down at the Sinbad's on the east side, and that was her her dance name was AYCE. So now that makes a lot of sense.
Mm. DJ Joey Blaze, how are you?
Hey, that's me. I am Joey Blaze. Well, hello to you, John Orlando.
Okay, question. How was the honky tonk, man?
Amazing. Mr. Wayne Ferris was off the chain great. I really appreciate you promoting the show. We had some of our highest viewership from how they keep track of that and whatnot, of people coming in and hanging out. And he signed stuff, he sold stuff, he told stories. It was fun. It was kind of like hanging out with like that older uncle that had a lot of different stories. It was because, I mean, he's an easy to talk to type of guy, but he has a little get off my lawn to him. So it was a really good time.
Cool. And that, of course, by the way, if you did not listen to last week's episode, well, first of all, what the hell's wrong with you? But secondly, the news from Joey was that he was going to get an opportunity to talk to the Honky Tonk Man on the Whatnot channel for Remix Collectibles. And so I'm glad to hear that was a rousing success.
Very much so.
And speaking of rousing successes, let's talk about this weekend's SummerSlam. It was emanating from Cleveland, Ohio. And let me let the folks know that we are going to talk about each one of the matches. We're going to kind of give our opinions on it. We're going to see if our predictions were correct. We are going to rate the matches on a scale of body slams. 5 body slams for an awesome, near perfect wrestling match. To 1 body slam, which means it was the drizzling shits. And we're even going to talk a little bit because it is Tuesday. We've had a Monday Night Raw in the books, so to speak. And so some things have been set in place from SummerSlam and things were continued in Raw. We'll even talk about that as well. So we've got a whole lot of stuff to get to. Let's go ahead, first of all, and talk about a couple miscellaneous things. First off, Joey, you were there.
I was there.
The stadium looked really good. And it was a pretty cool setup. Would you agree?
So from being there live, set up cool. My seats were shit because I had to pretty much sit with my knees behind my ears the way that it was set up where I was sitting. So it was very uncomfortable from that. If I would have been cool enough to have floor seats, probably been a bit better. But I feel like every angle from around the stadium was good. Plus they had stuff on their trons. The setup was great. I love that it's not the huge Titantron. I love the smaller, you know, ring entrance. I love the longer, how it kind of came out to. It was a little bit longer.
But you mean the aisle way?
The aisle way, yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I put that down as a little bit of maybe. I put a question mark by it because it seemed to me that if you were competing, you obviously didn't want to do the Ultimate Warrior and run all the way down there. But it also seemed to drag out the entrances a little bit. But I think that's the only negative I have to say about that. I also want to throw something out there that's kind of a technical thing they have been doing over the last, 6 months or something. I like how they start panning that side, one side of the rings. You know, they start kind of at the corner post for one side and start making that swooping pan. I really think that's very neat. I think that that's a great camera angle. I'd like to see more of it.
Well, that's even said they're going to try newer and different camera angles going through this. How did ref cam look on TV?
Didn't use it much.
They did not. Yeah, I agree with Rand. They used it a couple of times. Of course, there was the report that Seth Rollins ripped it out of his ear because it was malfunctioning and he couldn't get it to work. My only thing about it, and I don't know, Rand, you can tell me because obviously you weren't at the event, but you were watching at home like I was. Did it seem to me that with ref cam you could catch some things? Because there seemed to be an awful lot of spots caught on the broadcast.
Really?
Yeah. There was, in fact, Logan Paul and LA Knight, there was a lot of spots being called that was overheard.
Are we seeing behind the curtain? Are we seeing a little bit too much? One thing we're going to lose is things happening behind the ref's back.
Why? With ref cam?
We're going to see what the ref sees. And there's going to be times we're going to lose a little bit of the surprise and elements.
Well, anyways, I don't know. Ref cam, for me, I can't make a say whether it was good or bad or otherwise. Just it seemed to me that throughout a lot of the matches, there was some spots caught on over the air, if you will. But let's talk about an overall rating for SummerSlam. Rand, how many body slams would you give it overall?
Overall, I'm going 4.25. I think this is one of the best. 7 matches, just under 4 hours. Every match was good. There were 2 what I call fulcrum moments where you look at it and go, this could go either this way or that way. The first one was when Rhea picked up the chair to hit Liv and Dominic grabbed it. Were you thinking he's protecting Liv or is he helping Rhea by not getting disqualified?
And that was a great dilemma to put out there for the wrestling fans. And we'll talk more in depth about that match overall. Joey, you were there live, so what overall rating would you give it?
I'm right around there, too. I'm giving it 4 body slams and a headbutt off the top rope. Right? The crowd was amazing to hear that many people. This is the first time I've been in a crowd for of that size for a Punk entrance or for a Cody Rhodes entrance. We were outside, and it still blew the roof off the place, if that makes sense. It was very loud. People were singing along to both songs. It was refreshing. It was different because I would go to the local shows, right? And those are 15,000 people. This is 3 times the amount of people. Mm-hmm. But then it makes me go right back, and I just want to grab a hold of Mayor Ginther. I'm like, look, you annoying son of a bitch. Why don't you contact the World Wrestling Entertainment and let's get it done here? Mm-hmm. It's easier to get around Columbus than Cleveland. We have more hotels, I feel like, that are close by. I don't know why they keep dropping the ball and it had to be in Cleveland and why it couldn't have been in Columbus.
Somewhat inside knowledge. Previous job made a delivery to the Horseshoe.
Mm-hmm.
Talked to the gentleman, and I cannot remember his name, who is in charge of special events in the Horseshoe. He is a wrestling fan. He knows he can't get WrestleMania, but he wants to get SummerSlam. And this was 8 or 9 years ago.
I remember you telling us about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I
finally got the outdoor hockey game.
Well, we're at a point where we're not, and I don't want to go too much off subject here with what we're doing, but we're at a point now where the WWE doesn't seek out places. People seek out the WWE.
Yeah.
That's where they make those pitches. Yes. So that's why I throw it to our lovely, beautiful, wonderful mayor and how it would trickle down to that and working with Ohio State. Because there's so many different things with outdoor arenas, with indoor arenas, all kinds of stuff that you could do. Imagine doing SmackDown outside down at Huntington Park.
That would be sweet.
Or
Columbus Crew Stadium. Columbus Crew Stadium.
You don't have to worry about anything.
Or the new one.
Right. Well, I think the new one, they're still a little bit leery about
that
one.
And with the new grass, and they're actually in season right now. But
right.
Yeah, we have venues.
You also have the Columbus Convention Center.
Yeah, absolutely. There's plenty of reasons why Columbus could be
the 14th largest city in America.
There you go. See, enough said. But there is no reason why we can't host a WWE event.
But that's one of the things. You talk about being there live. That was the big turnoff, was the cattle herding of us getting in and the cattle herding of us getting out, and where we were just, I had nothing but surrounded by mouth breathers. And it was just so, it was just the way they did it, they weren't prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very unorganized with
it. Was it WWE not prepared? Or the Cleveland Browns Stadium?
Probably a combo of both. I mean, I think they would have to be part of that, of helping that team get ready.
Well, I overall gave it 4 body slams as well. I mean, my grades that I gave the individual matches all gave me the average of 4 body slams. I really enjoyed it as well. I think that my only complaints were, of course, that the long aisleway, and then I felt like at times there were too many arm and shoulder gimmicks worked in the matches. I'm like, pick a leg. Come on. We can do something different. We've just seen this shoulder injury already in 2 matches. We're going to see it in this match now. I think that that could have maybe been booked a little better. But
I think the long entrance way is because it's a football field and the entrances are on each end, 120, 150 yards apart. when they do a baseball stadium such as Arizona, they can go in a corner and have locker rooms and dugouts closer.
Yeah, that's a good point. I never thought about that. That the layout of still called First Energy Field, or is it now? Is it officially like Cleveland Browns Stadium?
I think it's because First Energy is no longer.
I'm not sure.
They were part of a there was a big scandal about
the Hightower thing. Wasn't that Larry Hightower or Larry whatever his name was? Okay, some
Hightower from Police Academy.
It was Bubba Smith.
Cleveland Browns Stadium.
It is Cleveland Browns Stadium. Okay, my apology, Cleveland listeners. I apologize.
Soon to be PVD Cath Stadium.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did I just blow the surprise you had?
You got the name wrong. It's actually John Orlando Enterprises Stadium, but that's okay. That's all right.
It'd be great if it was John Orlando Industries and you could be JOI, which is your favorite type of video online, from what I hear.
Joined in progress?
What?
Joined in progress?
Maybe.
Some sort of, depends on what kind of crowd you want.
Anyways, all right. First of all, a note from SmackDown the night before: we have new tag team champions.
Why do you have? First of all, you have them lose it in Cleveland.
Okay, right. Which I was gonna say, Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga defeated DIY to win the titles. Joey, go ahead with your rant.
Why do you have Johnny Gargano? He's like, they're kind of like an underdog tag team already. Why couldn't they just maybe, I don't know, win by disqualification or something? Or something happened. Why do you take the belts off of them in Cleveland? That just makes no sense to me when you're telling a story.
Especially now that we know what happens in the main event, that this is probably not a wise idea. But more on that in a little bit. Any comments, Rand, about Tama Tonga and Jacob Fatu?
I think I was in Myrtle Beach Friday night before SmackDown.
Yeah. You missed it?
Yep.
All right, well, let's jump into our first match. We've talked a little bit about it. It is for the WWE Women's World Championship. It is the champion, Liv Morgan, defending against Rhea Ripley. I wrote down, because I don't remember this, but McAfee, I believe, made a statement about the custody of Dominic. and made the joke about that storyline. Have they done that yet? Because I don't think I've ever, we've joked about it, as fans, but I don't think it's ever been said on a broadcast. Or did I miss it?
You mean between them two?
Or are you talking about Eddie and Ray?
No, I'm talking about actually somebody on the commentary team reminding us about
that
story.
Match? Yeah, no, I don't remember. I don't remember. That is funny, though.
I thought that was interesting. The psychology of this match was really good. There were a few botches, but the ending is what we kind of talked about. Joey and I talked about last week. I gave it 4 body slams. Joey?
This was, to me, was close to match of the night just by sheer crowd reaction and how emotionally invested the crowd was in being there. You saw it coming from a mile away. We knew what was going to happen. Let's be honest here. We knew that was, if you were betting the farm, this is what you bet the farm on. You knew that he was going to join Liv. But the way he joined Liv, and it's the only time I've seen a heel turn heel.
Mm-hmm.
So you went from being a heel to turning even more heel.
Right.
Amazing. And Dominic did a great job. Dominic's the best heel in the business right now. And that, to me, is a lot to say. From, well, he was booed when he kind of came in, when he was at tagging with his dad. And, what he has built from that till now and separated himself from Ray is pretty impressive.
He doesn't even get to speak.
He's booed
drowned
immediately.
Out by the crowd. I'm amazed at how well he's done this quickly.
Both Joey and I both stated that Liv Morgan would be victorious. Rand, I don't know. There were a couple of predictions we couldn't make heads or tails of.
Right.
But that's neither here nor there. We'll, like I said, we're going to go by the seat of, fly by the seat of our pants on this.
Rand needs to step up to the plate. He tried sending Morse code to you, so it probably got lost in the translation.
Okay.
I think the pigeon had trouble getting over the Appalachian Mountains.
Okay. Okay. So Rand, what was going to be your selection for this?
Honestly, I thought Liv, but I thought that somehow Dominic would screw it up. trying to help Rhea hurt her and Luke and somehow get the win.
Okay.
Now, afterwards, in the aisleway, Bobby Heenan would say, Dominic gave her the flying lip lock.
Well, he did go in. He went in good on that.
Yeah.
I think Rhea spent most of her rehab time in the tattoo chair.
I don't know. I think she's had those for a while. I mean, there's probably some new ones. But I think, yeah, I think we haven't seen them due to...
covered up.
Yeah, due to her gear. Okay, well, let's talk here now. So where do we see Dominic and Liv going from here? You know, on Monday Night Raw, we had, of course, we'll talk about it. Rhea Ripley came to the aid of Damian Priest because of the turn by the Judgment Day, which we'll talk about that as well here in a moment. So where do you see them going with Dom and Liv?
I just think they're going to just keep continuing to do the normal slimy stuff they've been doing the whole time. For what time period? I don't know. They can drag it out as long as they want. But this is a great position for both of them to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Will we see any mixed tag team matches between those four?
We definitely will. Absolutely we will. I would like this. I'll throw this out there. I would like to see Dom get cleaned up a little bit, because I think that would make another layer to the story. I'm not saying like new set, new gear, maybe get a little trim on the hair, you know, keep the mustache, because the mustache is excellent. Stop wearing the t-shirts hanging from your belt, you know, like change it up a little bit. Because, you know, there's always that stereotype of, oh, the new girlfriend makes, you know, polishes up the boyfriend. You know what I mean? Like, I think that would be a nice other level to that storyline that they could do. And it would be refreshing to see Dom in a different, you know, different set of
circumstances. It's taken a long time, though, to get here with that mullet.
Yeah, well,
that's a lot of time and effort to get there.
That's true. That is true. much more effort than I would ever put in, but... you know what? While we're talking about it, let's go out of order. Let's go ahead and talk about the Judgment Day, because we've alluded to it. I know this was much later in the show. We have Damian Priest defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Gunther. Rand, we'll start off with you. What were your thoughts about this matchup?
I missed this one. I thought Damon was going to win.
Okay.
With help from the Judgment Day. I didn't see Finn Balor in the fracture of the Judgment Day. I saw years ago that when he was the Archer at Infamy.
Yes.
I said back then that he was going to be a world champ. Boy, we still got Judgment Day all over the place, don't we?
A couple of notes I made about this match. It was obviously hard-hitting, and that was a good thing.
Chops.
The chops were amazing. They have the spot where Damian actually looks at the Jumbotron and sees the replay and then goes back to his and alters his attack on Gunther, which I thought was cool, because I've never seen that before, and it's obvious it's right there. Why not do that if you are in a match? Finn with the foot on the rope. I'm not a fan of the end. I was not a fan of the finish, because I feel like on a huge event like this, you have two turns involving the same faction. Why not have one held over to Monday? And it would have given you something more to talk about on Monday. It would have glossed things over. It wouldn't have been so repetitive. So for me, I gave it 4 body slams because of everything else, but I just wasn't a big fan of the finish.
I'm really close to with where you're at. I give it 4 body slams as well. And I still feel it's too early for Gunther. I felt like it was too early. I think they could have... Somehow Damian could have won, and then he didn't even have to lose the title for the Judgment Day to break up. And I think we could visit Gunther after Mania next year as a champion. I think it really jumbles up the world title picture and the talent you have right now. Because there's a lot of talent there. You have all that talent, and then you're bringing somebody over from SmackDown to challenge Gunther, which is weird too, which we could talk about. So... The way it broke down with already having a turn within the same group, it was really weird, but the match itself was really good. I enjoyed it.
I gave it 4.25. I thought it was really good. I'm surprised you didn't feel those shots when they were chopping each other. I mean, those were massive.
You could hear them without there being a microphone there. Clear up in the where we were at, yeah.
Okay, well, you mentioned it, Joey. last night on Raw, you know, Gunther comes out to do a great promo. And by the way, I like the fact that he was dressed to the nines. Like, that to me puts just another little, that's a little more icing on the cake to that character, you know, with Gunther, you know?
I'm a big deal now.
Yeah, right. I'm a big deal. I'm not just showing up in my, you know, t-shirt and jeans or running pants or whatnot. But yeah, absolutely. And then the promo I thought was good. And then as much as it is kind of dumb to bring somebody from SmackDown over, at least it makes some legitimate sense.
I still think that Punk, Seth, and Drew are still together. Who else would you have given a title shot to?
Honestly, I like this. Because, let's be honest, they mentioned it. He's a 14-time world champion. He's going to put Gunther over. If that doesn't put a rocket to his back and shoot Gunther even farther into the stratosphere, I don't know what would.
Yeah.
So I think it's great. Could I have picked somebody else? No, probably not. I think this is a very smart booking idea, even though on paper it does look to be a little bit weird at the beginning. But
where is that match going to take place?
At the Bash in Berlin.
So you have a hometown boy?
Well, technically, I did say it out loud when I was watching Raw. I believe Gunther's Austrian, yes. And that's different. That's
similar part of...
Similar part of the world, but
down
it's Austria.
Down the Autobahn, as they would say.
Yeah. So
honestly, I would love, and at this point in his career, I would love to see a return of Rusev. And I think a Rusev-Gunther feud would be amazing. Hard-hitting, insane. I think they could do a lot of cool stuff.
See you, man.
I don't think so. He's just squandering an AEW.
What? He is still on the payroll, though he is sitting at home, I believe. As of a few weeks ago, that was the case.
So, but, I mean, yeah, it's cool for Randy. I just wish you could just kind of kept it within the brand.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's move on to the next match, which is for the Intercontinental Championship. It is Sami Zayn, the champion, versus Braun Breaker. And, Rand, in your honest opinion, who did you have winning this match?
I had Braun winning. I think they've done enough. He's had a lot of intense matches the last couple of months on Raw. He looks like a big deal. When he won, they said the Braun Breaker era has begun.
Mm-hmm.
So they're putting him up big.
And Joey, your bold prediction came true. You said Braun Breaker goes over in less than 8 minutes. 5 minutes, 40 seconds was the official time of that match.
I think it probably should have been shorter.
Yeah,
I didn't realize it was only 5.5 minutes. I'll tell you, my favorite part of the match that even happened in the match, it's going back and watching the social media post of Rick and Scott Steiner being in, and yeah. Just being, you could just tell, they didn't go, they didn't go crazy, but you could see that proud father and proud uncle moment.
Mm-hmm.
The dude has only been wrestling for a couple years.
Right.
Let's be real with that. He's got a natural gift. He works on his promo. We might be seeing truly the next big thing.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly.
And the only reason I say that, because outside the ring too, the dude is so humble. The post stuff at the Mania press conference, how he put Sammy over and thanked him and for being such a good champ, and was like, he's human. He showed his human side, and he has that human side. And then the next day at Tower City, they did a signing with him. So he was being interviewed there by Tyler Breeze and Big E.
Mm-hmm.
And just the humility and where he's at, the kid's got his head on straight. Regardless of whatever, I think he has a chance to even challenge Gunther's record. If he wants to, you know, maybe they have bigger things for him.
I think a lot of this comes from the fact that he's grown up within the industry, that he's seen
the good and the bad,
been coached. I mean, talk about two different types of examples. Big Papa Pump and Dogface.
And then Goldberg, too. Goldberg's had a lot of influence on him as well.
And like I said just now, he's seen the good and the bad. So when you say his head's on straight, I believe it. Because he's probably heard some things, seen some things, you know, through growing up in that household. And, because we all know the Steiners were notorious for, you know, being involved in hijinks.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, that doesn't surprise me at all. Both all three of us picked Bron Breakker to be victorious in this. And, you know, the question now is, if you're Sami Zayn, what do you do now?
Oh, I think it's obvious what he's going to do now.
Is he's going to wait and become part of the Bloodline feud?
I think so.
Do you think Jay talks him into coming and fighting?
Or Kevin Owens. He gets back with Kevin Owens. He takes Randy Orton's place.
Maybe. Yeah. All right, the next match.
So what's next for Bron Breakker? Who challenges him?
Oh, sorry.
I mean, that's even a bigger question. Who do you put in that spot at the Bash in Berlin or whatever it's called?
Big fat guy that was.
Otis. No.
Not Odyssey Jones. Dark hair, singlets.
Bronson Reed.
Yeah.
Well, we have plans for him. Yeah, that was revealed.
He just started a feud with Seth Rollins last night.
Yeah.
Okay, so who do you put in that IC title picture with Breakker? That's a great question, Joey, because you wonder who have they been pushing recently that would be a good fit for him.
He's had a lot of great matches with Dragunov.
No, it's got to be Dragunov. That's who it's going to be.
Because
there was rumors, as we talked last week, that he was going to be inserted into that match, make it a three-way, which I'm not sold with Ilya Dragunov. Sorry, I'm not. I know, maybe if he came out dressed in goaltending equipment, and then I'd be like, oh, Ilya Dragunov, he sounds like a Russian goaltender. I like him now, yeah.
Managed by the goon.
Managed by the goon, of course, yeah, you know. But I don't know. I think Dragunov obviously is the safest selection that you could put in there. Otherwise, I don't know who else is in that same level that could compete. All right, let's move on to LA Knight taking on Logan Paul for the United States Championship. This match is the one that I put down. Lots of spots being called. Started off hot. I think it cooled a little bit. Then it did get hot. Overall, I gave it 4 body slams, and I'm glad that my prediction was correct that LA Knight won. And I think he deserves it.
I believe I have the same prediction.
You have the same prediction as well?
I was wrong.
You said Logan Paul.
And I realized it during the pre-show when The Miz was working the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
If The Miz was going to come out during this match, they wouldn't have shown him earlier.
I didn't think there was any way he was going
to. But you know what? I gave you credit, Rand. I thought that had some plausibility to it because I was like, you know, it does make sense. They have the history.
Both from Cleveland.
Both from Cleveland. He's the host, et cetera, et cetera. Which I will say I fast-forwarded through the Awesome Truth segment later in the PLE. I didn't care.
Ricky Morton and
Robert Gibson.
Robert Gibson. I mean, I...
The truth is so funny.
I will say this. It was right after he made that comment that I'm like, never mind, we're fast-forwarding through this because I don't want to hear this. Anyways. So Logan Paul, LA Knight. Now, does this mean Logan Paul is going to take more time off to go run another business? Or
time off?
Hey!
He's had, what, 3 matches in 9 months?
Oh, he's a part-time superstar, but Triple H went on to the... post show, and he was talking about how that Logan Paul wants to be there. He wants to be a WWE superstar.
Okay,
he's putting in the time, like he has his ring down in Puerto Rico where he trains.
It's clear he's good.
Yeah,
yeah. It's so much natural ability. It's insane.
Natural ability.
Personality.
Yeah, I was gonna say natural ability on his personality and in the ring.
He's got to be the most successful celebrity to get involved.
Yeah, I would say.
So I gave this 4.25 just for the simple fact is I think it was up there for match of the night because of the cool spots and then that death leap that Logan Paul did, that was insane. But I credit LA Knight, yeah, for he put on a really good match. And it's nice to see that he finally gets his flowers at this age now, and hopefully he can hold on to it for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. We've been calling for that 6 months, 9 months, a year.
Yep. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
They certainly realized what they have on their hands. They have a very solid, you know, look, is he ever going to be world champ? Probably not, but he could be a real strong U.S. champion and help to build some great superstars.
The crowd was so insane about him.
Oh, I'm sure.
He was probably the I would say the third highest pop of the night, third loudest pop.
That says a lot.
Mm-hmm. All right, so L.A. Knight was picked by, of course, Joey, myself, and you had picked Logan Paul.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to move on now to, I don't remember what went next. Is it the ladies match that was next? Bayley and Nia Jax. I thought so. This is the match that, to me, I was so bored with. I didn't care about it. The failed cash-in was okay.
Was it a cash-in or a distraction?
I think it was a distraction, but it was supposed
to. I thought it was going to be a cash-in.
They lost a huge opportunity by not making that a cash-in.
I agree.
That would have been, but there's some sort of loyalty that Triple H has to Nia Jax.
I don't understand it.
Whose finisher is simply sitting down somebody, which is so weird to me, but anyway.
Well, I gave it 2 body slams. I was so bored with this match, and it just seemed to go on and on. And I think it, if I looked it up and I remember correctly, went like 16 minutes. And again, too, as you and I talked last week, the Bayley character's boring. There's nothing interesting about this match that was going on. The cash-in would have made it somewhat. If they had allowed Tiffy to cash in, I maybe would have said 3 body slams. But as it stands, 2.
I was confused about the cash-in. Bayley did impress me by picking her up.
On the powerbomb?
Yeah. Because it's clearly Nia's much bigger than Bayley.
You think?
To the point where Bayley becomes the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
Just based on the size.
I like how Nia Jax was dressed like a Christmas tree angel that you put at the top of your Christmas tree.
That would make the tree lean over like the one from Whoville.
That'd be a sequoia. I'd take hold of that one out.
So,
but you're right. Triple H is so far behind her.
So my whole thought during this whole thing is, what has Bayley done to deserve this? Bayley is such a good team player. That she goes along with everything, she does her job, but what did she do to just, like, that was just, she deserves to be in a better match. We deserve to see her against somebody where she can show her what she can do.
We should do this, let's do it. We talk about the characters not working, then how about we do this? Let's recycle something from the 80s, baby. Tiffany Stratton and her go into a match, Bayley gets embarrassed or whatever, she's lost her smile, she leaves. Comes back under a hood, and does the whole Midnight Rider shtick. That would make things interesting. And Tiffy the whole time. Tiffy and Nia. That's Bayley. And they could, you know, unmask and you clearly it's you know, Dakota Kai or something like that. They could do that. Would make things fun. And I could get behind this if they would do something like that. Because it's something, A, I don't think has ever been done.
Especially for women.
That's exactly. That's, I mean, you know, the men have done it for years. Why not? I think that would be awesome. That would be hilarious. It would be fun.
And if any wrestler could pull it off, it would be Bayley.
Yeah, absolutely she would be able to pull it off. But Rand, both Joey and I picked Nia Jax to win.
I had Bayley.
Did you have Bayley? Okay. So, all right. So far, I have 5 predictions right. We have Rand has 2, Joey has 4. All right, before we move on, as I have it in my notes here, and Rand reminded me as well, it's time to take a little time out, all right? Not because it's Tiffy time or Vader time or Miller time. It's because it's time to talk about the great sponsor of the PVD cast, World's Greatest Comics. You heard it right here on this podcast last week. Joey called them, ladies and gentlemen, called them, picked up a phone and dialed the digits and talked to them over there and had a great experience.
Said, yo, this Marquise baby, are you down with it? Oh, that's a Two Life Crew song.
You know, you just dated yourself because Two Life Crew, huh?
I mean, that's why I loved The Box when I was growing up on cable. It's the only place you could see him.
Oh, so you're Jesus. Dating yourself and you weren't in JOI videos.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what they're talking about with the JOI stuff. But anyways, let's talk about enough about old school TV shows and hip hop and whatnot. Let's get back to what I was talking about, and that is that Joey knows, and everybody should know, that when you go to World's Greatest Comics, you're getting some great customer service. You're getting all you need for your comic book fandom, whether you're talking about single issues, graphic novels, collections, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, toys, collectibles, posters, comic book supplies. They got it all for you and your fandom. So stop by the store, especially if you're in Central Ohio. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. You can find them on the net. WGComics.com is the web address, and they're pretty darn active on their Facebook page. Just search for at WGComics. And if you want to be like my friend Joey, you can call them 614-891-3000. That's 614-891-3000. All right, so gentlemen, we are, I think, because we went out of order, talked about Gunther and Damian Priest. We're down to just two more matches, excuse me. The first one being a singles match featuring Seth freaking Rollins as a special guest referee. And, of course, I'm referring to Drew McIntyre versus CM Punk.
Sorry, I had to swallow, which is something they probably talk about in JOI videos. But, actually, it was crazy that they did a whole match that revolved around a kid's bracelet. That was the story, but they did a good job at it.
They did.
They did a really good job at it. I didn't notice much rust on Punk, which I was worried about, but the dude's been working his ass off this whole time. I really enjoyed this. Got 4.25 body slams for me. And it still left the door open for the feud to continue. It didn't close the door.
Probably the best comment of the night, pre-show, you might not have seen it, Drew McIntyre. CM Punk doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, and spends a lot of his time in rehab.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I hope that didn't take Drew a lot to think of. I think
he's had some good lines during this feud.
He's pretty snappy, so I think he's good.
He's had a lot of good lines during this feud.
I thought that they did a very good job of the conflict between the three of them. I thought that they did a great job of that.
They literally played out almost to a T the spot where Sean hit Brett.
Yeah.
Literally, because I watched a video of them on top of each other. Obviously, the roles were reversed. And did you notice that they paid homage to that match in their gear?
Yeah, I did.
I mean, Punk in the Bret Hart gear. Are you kidding me? That was sick.
Yeah, I thought that they did a great job overall with this match. I thought the ending was a little bit wonky, but I gave it 4 body slams as well. I thought it was really well done. As we now know, they're leaving this open for a round 2, so to speak. Last night on Raw, out comes CM Punk to address the WWE Universe, and he talked about how he wanted to have another go round with Drew McIntyre. Drew shows up, even though Seth Rollins came out. Drew shows up. Taunts that bracelet. I mean, I get that it's like a silly memento to Punk, but
it's rather personal.
Exactly. It's your wife's name is on there.
And then the fan that gave that to him, I guess they were tweeting during the match about, can I get some props for making the bracelet type of stuff too? I don't know if you saw that.
No, I did not see that.
Yeah.
But Rand, you were going to say?
I have no idea. They're so equal, you don't see any alliances between the three.
No. But I think after last night's Raw, we're going to see that obviously Drew and CM Punk's got a few more matches in them because Big Bronson Reed came out and made a statement, and I was a huge fan of this. I think this is awesome. The tsunami splash how many times from the top rope onto Seth Rollins? Like 5, 6, something like that. And look, I give a lot of shit to Michael Cole, but he did a great job of putting that over last night. He made it sound like Seth Rollins was in dire straits and was a splash away from dying.
Isn't that one of your favorite bands from the 80s?
I like them, yeah. Money for Nothing.
And Your Chicks for Free.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Telegraph Road. Yeah.
Oh, see? There you go, ladies and gentlemen. A little throwback music tonight. 2 Live Crew and Dire Straits. Anyways, Joey, any thoughts on CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, and the continuation of that feud?
Oh, I'm going to look forward to it. I think they can continue this for a little bit, and then you're going to see Seth enter the fray against Punk leading into Mania. I think that's going to be the Mania match right there. I don't know if it's going to be for any belts or anything, but I think that's going to be the Money Mania match between the two is Seth and CM Punk.
These three guys are so close to the top of the pecking order, they don't need a title.
No.
This could go on for quite a while Gunther establishes himself as a champ. Bron Breakker establishes himself as a champ. These guys are above needing a title.
Rand, who did you select for this one?
I had Seth.
He took Tito Santana.
Wait, Seth or Punk? Seth wasn't.
Well, I thought somehow there'd be some shenanigans.
And it would be a match?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, that makes sense then. Okay.
That he would say, screw both of you. I'm the referee. I'm in it.
Okay.
Which would have been historic.
All right. That leads us to our last one. Cody Rhodes versus Solo Sikoa. Now, Joey, you're going to have to help me on this one because I want to know real quick. When did they say it was Bloodline Rules? Was that
SmackDown the night before?
Was it on SmackDown the night before? Okay. Because yeah. I was going to say that seemed to be...
So when they say Bloodline Rules, they mean no rules.
Right. Absolutely.
Did we see Mama Rhodes at all? Was Mama Rhodes on TV?
I don't think so.
I didn't think I saw her there. So the thing is, the whole walk with Pharaoh, his dog, that was the last match that he's going to have Pharaoh at because Pharaoh's getting an age where he can't travel and he's older. So it was kind of a sad moment where he walked Pharaoh before he talked to Double A.
But we had a great moment seeing Arn Anderson.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying, yeah. Then.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's my thing. I wrote down, do not bring Pharaoh to the ring.
No,
do not.
Pyro, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, because he did that in AEW, and I'm like, what are you doing? Don't do that to that poor dog. I felt like the crowd was kind of up and down for this one.
During the match?
During the match, yeah.
I think it went too long.
Well, that's what I have down. 29 minutes, and like for the first 15 minutes, it was just wrestling. And I'm like, if this is Bloodline Rules, why is there not like 5 minutes of wrestling, and then let's do all the crazy shit now. Let's hit each other with everything. And cut this match down. Instead, we're having a Billy Robinson, Vern Gagne classic for 15 minutes, and now we're going to go into a Terry Funk, Onita masterpiece here. I'm like, what the hell, man?
So I think there was that. I think the match had an identity crisis, like you're saying.
Yeah.
I also think that we didn't have enough big names. What they did, when they had the Bloodline Rules at Mania, we had big names. So we're expecting big names. Kevin Owens and Randy Orton were hurt. Why not try and interject something different there, especially with the names that you have there already? Diamond Dallas Page is there. We know he has a history with Cody Rhodes. That would have been a cool run-in. You could have mixed some stuff up because when they talked to Arn, I felt like there was going to be new people.
I did too because he's like, I have friends. I'm like, ooh, who's coming? You know?
I thought we were going to see Ricky Starks.
That would be cool.
Him and Cody are really tight. So I thought we were going to see some new blood. Which we didn't, so that was disappointing.
Did you think it'd be new blood from WWE or somebody from the outside from AEW because of Arn?
I think we might have been a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't think, and I know he's not that great of a wrestler, and it didn't have to be a big deal, and he could have got his ass beat, but Arn could have sent his son out there. He's not under any contracts or anything. Just send him out to get his ass beat and get some name recognition on the Arn Anderson name. So... Brock, I would have sent Brock out. I would have had he would have just been an extra add on, let him get beat down by somebody, but brought him out.
Let's clarify that would be Brock Anderson, Brock Lesnar.
Right.
Just to clarify.
So with the identity crisis of the match, and then with the lack of big moments, and I think they blew it too early with Roman. I would have kept Roman back even longer. I would have had maybe the Wise Man come out with the Usos. Or something like that, to that effect. I would have had Paul Heyman out there mm-hmm. with somebody, but I wouldn't have brought Roman out there. Now, the crowd lost their shit when Roman came out.
Oh, of course they did, but I agree with you 100%. As I would have sat on Roman until Survivor Series at least. I think it's too early.
But unless that's what they're using it now to build towards Roman's bloodline against Solo's bloodline at Survivor Series.
That might be at Survivor Series. Where are either of the Usos at this point?
Well, Jimmy is out right now. He's not been on TV. I don't know why. I just assumed they took him off TV for the storyline purpose. Jay's doing his own thing over on Raw.
And they did sign...
Zilla.
What's the real tall one? Is that
No. Zilla, they did... I think they signed Zilla as well. Zilla Fatu.
He was in AEW for a couple matches, the big tall one.
Yeah, Hedaluka.
It's a strange
name. It's a strange name, but it's Haku's other kid.
Yeah.
He's like 6'7". You know, and I think they've done a great job with the Bloodline, as I said last week. I hope that this premature bringing back Roman is not ruin this. Overall, I gave this match, and the match only, 2 body slams. I'm not counting Roman's return into that, because I just, again, I felt it was overbooked. It under-delivered on my expectations. Rand, who did you select, by the way, and how many body slams?
I had Cody. When Roman came out, did you think there was any chance that he was going to go after Cody? Because I was like 80% he's going to attack Solo, 20% he was going to attack Cody.
Well, I think this is going to lead, because you could tell he was upset when he was leaving and they played it, the music, you saw him look back. I think we're going to see a matchup Cody versus Roman at Royal Rumble. And I think that's when we're going to probably end up seeing that. So, but I had no. So my whole thing is, what was up with Jacob Fatu? Was that a work, or did he really hurt his foot?
I don't know, because the next day I had read he was seen walking around Cleveland in a boot. So,
but I also heard that they wanted to keep him away from Roman.
Right.
Okay. But I don't know. He sold it really, really well if it was a work, because he really put forth an effort to make you think, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And that's what I referred to with the tag titles. If this is a true legit injury, what are you going to do with those tag belts? Are you just going to plug Tongaloa in there?
Bloodline rules, Freebird rule.
Free blood rules.
Free blood. I like that. Free blood. All right.
Blood Street USA.
Blood Street USA.
All right, let's talk about one final thing. Last night on Raw, we had the debut of the Wyatt Six. I did write down that I find it interesting. I don't hate it. I don't love it. But I find it interesting that they're faces. You know, because when you look historically, these creepy gimmicks have usually always been bad guys. You know, they've been heels. But, I mean, I understand the method behind it, you know, to pay homage to Bray Wyatt and whatnot. I got to say, I mean, it's got potential. I will tell you right now, I don't know if Chad Gable and the Creed brothers are the right...
Made in America?
Yes, Made in America. Or American Made.
American Made, is that what it was?
Yeah, it's American Made. Not to be confused with American Males.
Or American Males. Or American Made, the WCW Hulk Hogan song.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. I don't know. I mean, they had a good outing. But, you know.
So I loved it. I don't care. Like, Eric Rowan doing the yeah, yeah, yeah. That was awesome. Paying homage to Brody.
Mm-hmm.
And then Joe Gacy doing the whole.
Yeah, upside down. In the corner. Yeah.
And then Loomis looks like a freaking badass, dude.
Yeah. Finally.
I think they finally got on with a good gimmick for him.
Yeah. I agree.
And I really like it, and I think we're saving Howdy for, like, big events.
Which is smart.
Which is just, it's kind of how they try to do with Bray there for a while, mm-hmm. right? With The Fiend, it was just more of a big event wrestler. So I think we see that with Howdy as well. My thing now is, where is Alexa Bliss going to fit in when we bring her back? Is she going to be part of them? Is she going to be doing her own thing? I really thought we would have saw her Saturday night in some capacity at mm-hmm. SummerSlam, or last night on Raw. Well, I just thought SummerSlam because it was in Ohio,
mm-hmm.
which would have made sense.
Yeah, right. I agree with you.
I'd like to thank Spectrum Cable for not having Sci-Fi Network.
They don't have Sci-Fi?
Nope. Not on my level of package.
Well, maybe it's the size of your package.
That was an instant Blue Chew commercial right there. We should have went right into that. Anyways, but overall, I thought this was one of the best SummerSlams in recent history. Rand, you obviously agree as you're shaking your head, yes?
Yes, I concur.
Joe? I also concur equally.
Okay. All right, with that, anything else, gentlemen, you want to touch base on? Nope? Okay.
I got nothing.
You got nothing? Well, you do have something. You have to let the folks know where they can follow you online.
How about your YouTube? Are you going to talk about YouTube at all? Or?
You guys haven't found it.
No, we haven't found it.
Okay, then.
Okay. Anyways, well, tell us more about yourself and where folks can find you online.
At Twitter or X, at Rand Dittmar, R-A-N-D-D-I-T-T-M-A-R.
And DJ Joey Blaze?
Well, you can find us and myself really easy. www.remixcollectibles.com. It's all kinds of ways to reach out to myself and Remix Collectibles. Get all your needs and wants and desires. And maybe I might find a JOI video or two.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? I'll tell you right now. You can talk all you want about those JOI videos, but I think that that Coco Beware video really set the tone for tonight.
What if there was a mashup of Coco Beware beating up a jobber, and maybe we could have him do
talking
that.
Talking about how he's doing it?
Yeah.
And for those that want to know, there's a video from 1985 of Coco Beware being incredibly stiff with a jobber. And we watched it. Yeah. All right, on that note, thanks, guys, for stopping by. And I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Ringside Rand and DJ Joey Blaze, a.k.a. the Pro Wrestling Pundits, talking about SummerSlam and what we liked, maybe what we didn't like. As you heard, it was a pretty solid event. And I'm going to say it once again, probably one of the better SummerSlams that I have seen in quite a number of years. So with that, I want to thank the guys for stopping by and sharing their insight and their opinions and whatnot. But it's time for me to tell you where you can get in touch with me if you would like to comment on this episode or any episode of the PVD cast. Well, first, you could shoot me an email. My email address is johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook, Threads, and Instagram accounts. All you have to do is look for @PVDcast. And you can even still find me on X. My personal X account over there is @PVDMVP. But you know what? Maybe at this time, you know of somebody that would appreciate the PVD cast. So you want to tell them where they can find it. Well, let me help you out with that. First, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly and where every single episode of the PVD cast can be found. But it also can be found through those wonderful podcasting apps and outlets. So go to your favorite app or outlet, put PVDcast in the search bar. Sometimes you have to put John Orlando after it, and you should find it. And since we're talking about those apps and outlets, rate and review. It helps me out so much in the algorithm. It lets those companies, those outlets, those apps know that you're listening, and it helps me out in my rating. So if you could, just rate and review, and if you haven't done so already, subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVD cast. And you know what? It's come to my attention from some listeners that the automatic download, if you're using Apple Podcasts, isn't working anymore. You have to kind of reselect it. So if you're somebody that says, I haven't received a notification about a new PVD cast in the last couple of weeks, go into your settings for your Apple Podcast, the three dots. You've set it to automatic download, and you're back in action, man. You're back getting each episode of the PVD cast each week as it's released. That's something that I'm going to keep an eye on because I was unaware that when Apple did the update that happened. So, but nonetheless, if you need one other easy way to find the PVD cast, well, every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a little live Facebook broadcast of the week's episode, and I'm back on track. I had a few that got shuffled around, but we're all back on my schedule that I have created. So just check it out Wednesday nights at the PVDcast Facebook page. Again, Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern. All right, with that then, ladies and gentlemen, we're going a little bit long here, so I'm going to wrap things up. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. We'll be right back.
following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2024.